If you'd like to support this ministry, you'll find information at the end of this podcast. So I'm laying in bed one day, which is thousands of times over the past 9 years. And I just woke up and the Lord's speaking to me. And my body's vibrating. And I'm laying there and I'm conscious. And I can hear the Lord speaking to me. And I'm interacting with the Lord in a conversation. And every single cell in my body is vibrating. And I'm saying to the Lord, how can I make meaning? How can I give context to this? How can I explain this to my brothers and sisters? How can I give language to this? This is outside my scope of everything. You know, I've thought that many, many times. How can I explain this in a meaningful way that people can understand? So the Lord started slowly, bit by bit, giving me understanding how to explain this. So now I'm going to try and explain it to you. So I'm laying there and I'm vibrating, and my whole body is fizzy. It feels effervescent, like when you open a bottle of soft drink and it goes shh, and all the bubbles come to the top. And then I found out that in the Bible, you know, it says Satan comes to kill, steal and destroy, but I come that you may have life and life more abundantly. And that life is effervescent Zoe life. So he's been trying to explain to me how can I put meaning to Zoe life, and how can I give people practical applications to actually walk within that Zoe life. It's a little bit like I can only explain in what the Lord has shown me, but it's like fish when you see them in the ocean, when you see those nature shows. And they're all little fish in just thousands and thousands of them in a ball. And the enemy is swimming around them, and they're all connected together. They're all little individual fish, but they all operate as one. And the enemy swims around. The fish, the big sharks and the dolphins and whatever else are swimming around them. And as they're swimming around, the fish are swirling. And as the predators get close, the fish swirl. And there are waves of swirl. And that's how I feel. So I'm laying in bed. I've done this 1,000 times. And somebody bangs something outside. It's not a fearful thing, it's just a noise. It's a distinct noise, and inside my whole body I feel that swirl. And I said to the Lord, how does that work? I mean, I'm not fearful of someone banging something across the road. Maybe they hit a hammer on a nail, or maybe they hit a bit of metal or something. Why should I be fearful of that? And he told me that your body is so alive that it reacts to every single thing. You have life, and life more abundant. You have effervescent life. And I said, okay, I understand that. And I said, how does it all fit together? And he told me about vibration. And I went, okay, so he basically explained to me how vibration works, how magnetic resonance works. He told me that the whole universe vibrates at a certain frequency. And each unit has its own frequency, but it vibrates in unison or in harmony with the major vibration. I said to him, well, what is this major vibration? He said that vibration, or the law, or the decree of that vibration, comes from my throne. I went, okay, so you hold everything together, or no, everything is held together by your by the decree that comes from your throne? He said, yes. Everything vibrates at a certain level, and it holds, it is held together, all the substance of this universe is held together by a decree that goes from his throne. I said, okay, that's pretty interesting. So how does this work? He said, you vibrate at a certain frequency. He said, your flesh vibrates. He said, your soul vibrates and your spirit vibrates. And he said, when they all come into harmony, then you have unity with me and the decree that goes out from my throne. And if you can understand this, I'm sorry, I'm just speaking unfiltered. This is what God told me. You're going to have to go and study this out yourself, meditate on these truths. I'm not going to drill down too much. I'm just going to give you the overall picture of what the Lord showed me. He said that your flesh has broken it, or the decree in your flesh is different to your soul and your spirit. He said your flesh will never come under the decree of the throne because it is broken. And he said that your soul and your spirit have to bring the flesh into subjection to submit to the vibration or the decree that comes from the throne. He said your flesh will never inherit the kingdom of God. It's broken. But it can be managed, and it can only be managed by the power of the Holy Spirit, which gives it meaning and brings it into conformity with the throne. It doesn't want to, but it is by force brought into conformity. So my whole body's vibrating from the presence of God. And every cell in my body is alive like an individual cell. Each cell has its own memory, its own consciousness, because it has a functionality. It's being told to function properly by the throne of God. And when my soul and my spirit are in agreeance, they bring about a magnetic resonance that comes into alignment with the throne of God, and life starts to happen. Abundant life, Zoe life, effervescent life. So I said to the Lord, how can I use this? He said, everybody, their signature frequency is out of alignment with the kingdom of God. And it brings about death and destruction, decay, deformity, darkness. He said, you are the son of light, and your father, he is the father of lights. So then I went and studied out about the word, the Hebrew word light, and it means about a whole bunch of cows or cattle that are just roaming around, but you get them and you corral them and you bring them into a place where they can't just randomly just do their own thing. That's the root understanding or the concept of light. It means bringing something that's random, that has no control over itself, that is has no conformity, bringing them into one place where they all have to function together. That's light. And if you read Genesis chapter 1, it talks about God in the beginning. And it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Then it states the condition of the earth, and it says, "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep." And that word, "and the earth was without form," that word "without form," it means formlessness, confusion, unreality, emptiness. A primitive earth, nothingness, empty space. That which is empty or unreal. That's what it says. Without form. Void? Well, emptiness, void, a wasteland. And darkness. Darkness is obscurity, darkness, secret place. It actually means darkness. Okay, without the absence of light, there was no meaning. There was no true law being operated in that place. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And that deep, you know, it means deep ocean, means the abyss, the deepness, the depth of a river or of the ocean. And so darkness, all this void and all this emptiness was on the face of the deep. You know, and I asked the Lord about that, and the vision that I get is these black rocks, jagged and sharp, a wasteland with nothingness in it, a place void of any unity, a place void of life. It has nothing in it. And then it says, "and the spirit." You know, that word "spirit" means ruach. That is the Spirit of God. Okay, we know at the Holy Spirit, that is the Spirit of God. "And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." And that word "God," which is really interesting, it actually means Elohim. And the word Elohim means ruler, judge, divine ones. Okay, that's the plural. Divine ones. Angels, gods. It's interesting that Jesus said to the Pharisees, when he started saying he was the Son of God, and you know, they said, "You're claiming you're the Son of God," and you know, and all of these things. And he says, "Hasn't said in your word, ye are gods," right? "And the scriptures can't be broken." And that word, and that verse he was quoting was out of Psalms. And it starts off, it's only a short psalm, and it says, "Ye are gods," or "Ye are Elohim." When you bring life to society, life to individuals, life to the land, you're operating as Elohim, as little gods. You're operating like your Father, who is the Father of light. So as the Spirit moved over the deep and everything was dead, had no proper function, it wasn't operating through the function of the throne, it was dead, a wasteland, the Spirit, or the Elohim, moved upon the deep, and the Lord said, "Let there be light." We are the sons of light. We go about people's wasteland life, deformed, void, and without meaning, that are randomly just full of sickness and disease, and every cell in their body is screaming out, "Give me context. Bring me into alignment with the throne of God." And some cells have given up, and they've deformed, and they're sick, and they're turned into disease. And they're unredeemable. They're finished. They're gone. But the other cells that are on the process of dying and shriveling up and not having any ability to come into the resonance of God's frequencies, It's funny talking about frequencies. You know, these people, they're sick and they're dying and they have no truth and they're caught up in a lie. And they're sharp and they're like jagged rocks and they're just totally a wasteland life. But we, as the Elohim of God, we walk and we speak life into them, and life comes abundantly through the Ruach, the Spirit of God. So darkness is upon the deep, upon the face of the deep of their life, and life comes, conformity to the throne of God, and things start becoming full of effervescent life, fizzy life. And Jesus is the center of that effervescent life. So I said to the Lord, how can I fix people up? He said, well, when you lay hands on them, because of the frequency, because of the resonance of the kingdom of God that's in you, it brings everything else that has some form of life, it starts to bring them into a conformed, resonant vibration. If that's the way you say it. So they start vibrating at a frequency which starts to come and be conformed to the throne. The Bible says, be ye conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. He's the center of the perfect frequency. I can't believe I'm talking like this. But this is the way I think, and I have to actually try and translate into English. It's pretty hard. So in Jesus has been given the key frequencies, the key vibrational tones. And when you play a chord on a piano, you play one note, that's one note, that vibrates at a certain frequency and creates sound. When you play two or three or four notes, when you play more than, I think it's three notes, you create a harmonious sound, which is called a chord, because they come into harmony. They're all different. He told me all the little fish in the sea, they're all individuals, but they all swim as one body. And in my body, I have every cell and is vibrating at the same frequency or resonant frequency or group of frequencies which make up the body in the functionality. And they become effervescent, they fizzy life. So when somebody makes a noise outside, my whole body swirls in a millisecond. And it's fascinating to see it happen. I've seen it happen hundreds of times. I said, why should I be fearful? You're not being fearful. You're not reacting to fear, but your senses are in tune with all of nature and everything around you that comes into agreement with the throne of God. So in this world, we have things that are vibrating at a dead frequency. They're falling apart. They're full of death and decay. And then there's nature, or what we would call nature, which is God's operating structure, whatever you want to call it. And it is screaming out for the sons of God to step into that Elohim position and to bring everything into conformity with the kingdom of God. So what do? Well, you sit down and you pray in tongues, and the Holy Spirit, the Ruach, moves upon the deep parts of you and brings life and creates life and transforms everything that is void and dark and brings light, brings conformity to you. And all of your cells start vibrating at a certain frequency and they start to become effervescent. And then when you move to somebody else and you start speaking into their life, even the words that you speak are coming from the throne room of God. They're being inspired by the by the Holy Spirit, the Ruach. It's the Hebrew. So you speak into someone's life, you speak life, and then effervescent life happens to them. The cells in their body or the resonance in their body starts to come into alignment with the kingdom of God, and they start to hear God's voice. They start to hear his signature. They start to understand or experience his resonance, which brings absolute life and life more abundantly through Jesus Christ. Because he has been given control and power and authority over everything. There's nothing that is not under his feet, that is not under his control. Everything. Every knee must bow in heaven, on the earth, and beneath the earth. And that concept of every knee must bow means that everything must come into alignment with the resonant frequency of the kingdom of God. So wherever you go, you bring the kingdom of God. Wherever you go, you bring true, authentic life vibration. And life, everything vibrates at a frequency. It's just amazing what the Lord shows me. And I have to try and speak this stuff. I ask the Lord, I have to pray the Lord, give me the ability to articulate this stuff. And I just start recording and it just comes out. So if you'll sit down and pray in tongues, God will restore everything in your life. And the darkness and the void and the nothingness and the emptiness will start to fade away. And light will start flooding into you. You know, and I pray for people a lot of time. I speak over them light. I say, let light flood into you. And they feel darkness flee. It's funny. I say, how do you feel? They say, I feel light. But they feel physically light. Because the heavy weight of void and darkness and nothingness and decay and death starts to run away. And the kingdom of God steps in and starts transforming their life. And it's up to them to make the decision whether they'll continue on in the restoration of their life through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's up to them. It's all about their sovereign will to partner with God in the restoration of their life. So first you get your life all in line with the kingdom of God. And then you start transforming other people's lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord uses you as an instrument to transform people's lives because you pass on that resonance. It's interesting. He says, and they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. By laying your hands on somebody, you transfer what is in you into them, whether it is darkness or light. It's a very profound thing. You don't want to be sowing discord among the brethren. A bad frequency in your words causes death and destruction. So when you pray for people, you need to be full of light, full of life. If you pray for people and you've got darkness in your life, then that darkness has the opportunity to slip over into them and transform sickness into worse sickness, to make stuff go bad. You know, I don't let many people pray for me. And I have lots of people say to me, you know, I was going along really good until someone prayed for me. And now I'm starting to have bad dreams, starting to have bad imaginations, starting to daydream on certain things that I know are not of God. And I don't know where they came from. And I said, have you had someone pray for you, lay hands on you? And they said, yes. It's about the doctrine of laying in of hands. You know, in Hebrews chapter 6, it says that we're to understand the fundamental things of God. They are the first principles. And if you understand those first principles, you've got a pretty good shot of keeping that vibrational frequency intact. So, you know, the first one is repentance from dead works. That comes from the leading of the Holy Spirit. abandoning your agenda and what you think God should be doing, and letting God lead you through the anointing. And by the anointing, everything will be broken. All the bad stuff will be broken. It breaks the yoke of bondage over people. If you walk in live, authentic, directed works, not dead works. Dead works is like the face of the deep. It's like the earth was. Dead works. And I'll tell you something that might just give you a bit of a ruffle. Who made the deep, or the face of the deep, and the earth without form and void? Who was the one that caused everything to fall over, be drained of life, and totally void without any understanding or any life? Who was the one that did that? That the Spirit of God, the Ruach, would have to hover over, and then from within that glory, God spoke life. He spoke light, and he started to create from a dead, deformed earth into something that is green and full of abundant life. Who was that that destroyed that? You'll find that in Isaiah. It talks about Satan destroying the nations before Eden. That's amazing. What was there? And was there nations on the earth before Eden? Well, you'll have to go and ask God for that one yourself. He alludes, just in a passing, just a few verses, about someone coming and destroying the earth even before Eden, and that people were there. That's another story that we don't seem to have in our Bible, and God doesn't probably need us to know too much about it. And he'll explain when Jesus turns up. Or you'll have a question and answer with Jesus for a long time. And he will answer all of the unanswerable questions of this time. In the meantime, rather than fretting, because the Bible says the young or the immature, they wrestle the scriptures to their own destruction because they can't find all the answers. So they make all the stuff up to fill in the gaps, and they cause themselves to fall. But do you know the best thing you can do is get full of God. And all of the answers that God wants to give you, he will relay to you through dreams, open visions, inspirational ideas that the Holy Spirit gives you, and the Word of God, which all come into alignment with the throne of God. So it's all about walking in the Spirit, because the Word of God says the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of death and decay, right, have been vanquished, killed, destroyed, overran by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So as you pray in tongues, the law of the Spirit of life floods into you, into the deep parts of you, and the Holy Spirit searches the deep parts of you and brings life and meaning. From a chaotic situation, order comes. It doesn't happen overnight. It happens over a period of time. It depends on how chaotic your life is and how much sovereign will you'll give God permission. You know, we get our computers and we get onto the internet, and we've got to tick boxes to give somebody permission to do something with our computer. You know, a lot of us give more permission to computers and situations and bots and internet computer bots than we do to God. We should tick every box that God comes to, says, can I do this in your life? Yes, tick. Can I do this? Yes, tick. How about one box you just tick and everything is done? Well, that is bowing your knee to the will of God through Jesus Christ. By giving him permission to do everything and transform, configure, reconfigure everything in your life. And everything will run smooth and you won't crash. You'll actually be blessed, because the blessing of God will flood in. You know, if you vibrate at the proper frequency in relation to the throne of God, the kingdom of God by decree of the throne is by default floods into your life. It is attracted by the vibration. You know, when I walk amongst people, they all vibrate at different frequencies. And I come up against people and I look at them, and the Holy Spirit says there is a resonant frequency of the kingdom of God in that person. And I say, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? And I say, yes. I say, do you speak in tongues? And I say, no. And my mind will say, that doesn't work. The Holy Spirit attracted me to that person and gave me information of that person. Told me that person is connected with the kingdom of God. So I dig a little deeper and I say, so have you ever spoken in tongues? Ever? And they say, oh, yeah, once. But I don't speak in tongues now. It's not part of my life. You know, if a person spoke in tongues just for a little bit, tiny bit, they've got the Holy Spirit inside them, and there is the possibility of transformation in their life. They weren't taught about the transformation of their life by the power of the Holy Spirit. There's still darkness. They still are the children of light, but they're living in a deformed, unfunctional world. Their life is messed up. And if I get them praying in tongues, well, what I do is I put my hand on them and I pray in tongues, and the Holy Spirit activates all of the little molecules in their body and stuff starts coming alive. And they go, whoa, because everything's coming into alignment. So like walking into a building where the lights are all out, you got thousands of arrays of lights, you switch one switch and all of a sudden a whole bank of lights start turning on, and there's light to a certain area of the building, and you're able to move around. And as we actually pray and come into alignment with the kingdom of God, other parts of the building start to come alight, and darkness flees. So that's the story of the fish in the ocean. You know, every molecule in your body that's alive is calling, is screaming out to be captured by the kingdom of God, to function properly, and life more abundantly, effervescent life, Zoe life, will come into you. That's the transformation of the kingdom of God. That's the power of the Holy Spirit in your life to bring life and light and to drive darkness out of you. Darkness in the form of crazy thoughts, bad theology, which is brought in by doctrines of devils, liars who come to steal and destroy your life through false religion, false ideas, and then start messing with the physiological aspect of your body and bringing disease and sickness, and then shutting off the blessing of your life by bringing decay and disease and misery through curses. All of these things come from the enemy, but we are the sons of light if we walk in the light. If we have fellowship with the light, then we will have light and we'll be able to give that light to other people. We can transform people's lives by laying hands on them. If we understand the doctrine of laying in of hands, it's about the transformation of what you are and what you have to another person. You know, when I'm praying over people who are demon-possessed, often the demons in that person will manipulate their hand to try and touch me. That's so funny. As if a demon-possessed person can put their hand on me and transform stuff into me that I don't want. They might trick me, but that they cannot, they will not get permission. You know, a lot of time I'll grab their hand and say, nah, go away. But they do not get it. They're fighting up a hill to try and get stuff into me. The only way that stuff can get into me, right, or get past the sentinels, get past the doorkeepers, which are angels and the Holy Spirit and the kingdom of God, is if I give them permission. And even then, if I'm inadvertently, I don't understand what's happening, God will step in and sovereignly look after things, because we work for God. That's the way it works. It's a minefield and a war out there. And darkness is trying to transform what God has brought light into. Darkness is trying to grab back, steal back the real estate that it has been evicted from. You know, another thing that happens when you pray for people, you know, it doesn't always happen. Probably about 5 or 7%, they start throwing up. And they throw up stuff that is not the contents of their stomach. They throw up stuff that's from other parts of their body. It's pretty amazing. You know, if they don't throw up their lunch, they throw up something else. So, you know, when you're living in a house or a block of flats, and some druggo idiot who's living in the house in one of the flats gets evicted, and then a truck comes up, right, with a big skip in, and the people go in there with masks and gloves, and they start throwing all this stuff out in their skip in, all this junk that has nothing to do with life. And then they come in and they scrub the house and they repaint it. They fix all of the furnishing up, all of the light fittings that have been broken. They fix up all of the tears in the wall and all of these things. And they bring cleanness to it. Well, that's what happens when I pray for people and they start throwing up. They throff up. Some of them throff. The little frothy stuff comes out their mouth. Do you know what that is? All that stuff? Don't want to be too gross with you, but that's nesting. That's the nesting place of demons. Yeah, and what they... And if you can receive this, okay, but your body is meant to function according to the will of God. And anything that is not of the will of God gets ejected, gets evicted, gets kicked out. So the demons are not in this little frothy stuff or when you throw up. That's just the stuff that they lived in. That's the stuff that they cohabitated with to cause more pain and suffering. You know, people who have tumors, you pray for them and these knotted ball stuff they cough up, that's the tumor. How did it get from being totally mixed up into your body to being brought out as one individual thing? That's the power of the Holy Spirit to untangle that which is of God and that which is of the enemy. So don't be too grossed out about it. I've had people when they're praying over them and they're making all of these funny muffled sounds, and you look into their eyes and you can see demons and you tell them to come out. And then sometimes you look into their eyes and you can see them and you put your hand on them, you say, "It's okay. We're working together here." And they're looking at you and they're saying, "Please help me. I don't know what's going on." But we know what's going on. We're separating light from darkness. And as we pray over them, they start frothing up or whatever. And I've had them, you know, I put my arm around them and all the frothy stuff is all over my shirt. Do you know what? I'm a very clean person. I don't like dirtiness. I wash my hands all the time. I like to be clean. I like to have showers. And yet when they do that, I have this, the Lord, he just disconnects that yuckiness from me, that grossness from me, that would upset me. And all I have is love and compassion for them. And I pray over them and I'm able to continue on in the job that the Lord has given me through the anointing. You know, if somebody threw up on my hand just not by praying, but just because I was sick, I would be washing my hand. I'll be scrubbing it. I don't want spew on my hand, in my nails. Yuck. That's gross. But you know, the things I've done through the anointing has amazed me. Because God disconnects all of that stuff. You're no longer working for yourself when you're under the anointing. You're working for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he disconnects all of the stuff that will freak you out, make you run. All the fear, all of the fear, it gets disconnected and the demons just freak out. Because we walk in the Lord and we pray over them fiercely. We are a terror to them. And they can't understand it while we're not freaking out. And we go, we're in the zone. We've dropped into the Spirit. The anointing's over me and you're in big trouble. But that's the way it works. When you walk in the Spirit, you're not your own. You're an instrument of righteousness, being led by the Holy Spirit, being inspired by the Holy Spirit, and being empowered by the Holy Spirit. So if you sit down and pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit will move upon the deep of your life and transform you and bring everything into alignment. The Holy Spirit will corral everything that's dysfunctional in your life and bring it into a functionality. And it will vibrate at the frequency of the throne of God. So we'll leave it there. So if you'd like to help Don and I out at Clear Vision Revival, just go to the bottom of this page and click on support.